What about a car bomb?
It won't be enough firepower. Plus, it'll take too long to get there. Guards and countermeasures will take it before it even hits the barricade.
Hey, it worked in Oklahoma.
And it failed in 93.
Well, practice makes perfect. But as it stands, I don't think George is going to buy it. You may have Crystal and his boys fooled, but it's just not enough. That's all I'm saying. It's not enough.
If you don't stop arguing with me, I'm going to... We're running out of time here.
I know we are. And on top of that, I've still got to schedule that godforsaken press conference.
That's another thorn in my rear end. If they're shoveling and fudging numbers that big, we've got to get a handle on the military and get Tenet on our side. Who knows what Clinton was up to? I mean, Jesus, I know black budgets are pricey, but $2 trillion? How do you even spend that?
Well,
for mankind and for science.
Turn it off. Turn it off right now.
Oh, my God. Yep,
we got 20 more subsidies right about this size. This one's even got an Outback Steakhouse.
It adds up.
Gentlemen, we've finally done it. We've turned the frogs gay.
This is the proudest day of my life.
You'd be surprised what things cost.
Saddam, get a missile here.
They've got a navy.
Two-thirds of it doesn't exist because we made sure the ships never arrive, so they've only got four missile boats with a range of not shit. So, try again, SecDef.
The technocrats, as the world's ruling elite call themselves, are incredibly selfish people. And they admit that they have a plan to balkanize nations and turn peoples against each other so they can be easily ruled via the divide and conquer. But first, the nation state itself must be taken over by private corporate combines, and foreign groups then need to be brought in who are clothed and fed and brainwashed by the state to be destabilization forces. Now, this is not my opinion. On screen is an article from 2012 from the BBC that's promoting world government via open borders. And it says the EU should undermine national homogeneity, says UN migration chief, should open the borders to Africa and to the Middle East to then bring in the groups who are not from free countries to force Europeans to then adopt systems that will not, quote, upset the Islamicist and others. This is the program. And they say it is to, quote, replace Europeans. Then they teach in the news that white people are fundamentally evil and fundamentally bad and need to be gotten rid of, and that white genocide is now taught in colleges.
Anything? Pressure?
All right, we just put together that little hodgepodge. The first video was referencing a few things. One, the gay frogs, and also the $2 trillion in missing transactions that the Pentagon had. Right, they had a press conference on 9/10, right before 9/11.
Wow.
In 2001, and Donald Rumsfeld goes, yeah, we don't know where $2 trillion is. And I like the part where they said, well, how do you spend that kind of money? And we got teleportation chambers, we're turning frogs gay, we're building underground cities. That's how you spend $2 trillion. You just spend it and you make things. And who you just let these mad scientists run wild. My guest is Lila Hart. And then we went to the scopolamine video from The Serpent and the Rainbow. And what was funny is I said, yeah, that's that zombie drug. She goes, Epstein was growing that. So like the Epstein knowledge is going everywhere. That wasn't even a big deal, but it was in the Epstein emails. So,
well, it's amazing that people are starting to finally wake up.
Yeah.
You know, so
when did you first hear about Epstein? We got about 20 seconds.
2020.
So, okay.
You know, I woke up and it was a very hard time, but I'm glad to be where I'm at now.
Yeah, exactly. It's empowering when you really know what's going on. And then you're like, oh, the stuff that shouldn't make sense is now making sense. We got a whole segment with Lila coming up. We're going to find out what she's been up to. I first met her a couple years ago. So we'll be right back after this short break and with the third hour of the American Journal. Stay tuned.
Gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Listening to The American Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
He's found it down, loaded up and trucking.
That's right. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. My guest is Lila Hart. You can check out all her information at lilahart.com. She's a comedian. She's a host. And you were here in Austin doing a callback audition?
Yes, for a TV show. So I'm really excited about that.
Great. Well, I hope I wish you the best with that. We were just talking during the break about the awakening. You said you woke up to Epstein in 2020. And, you know, before that, we've been talking about Epstein for years before that. We've been playing clips of Alex Jones talking about the pedophile cult since, you know, early 2000s. He's talking about it before then, but that's when we had, you know, TV of it. But like you were talking about the awakening process, and everybody has their own time when they come awake.
Exactly.
And yours was in 2020, but like you're glad to see the awakening. So
I'm
talk about
so
that a little
glad
bit.
To see the awakening of the people that are waking up now. I know some people are upset that like, oh, I've been fighting since 2020 and now people are just waking up, but we all had our moment. So to see it become a little bit more mainstream to me is exciting. Also, I'm happy that I went through my awakening in 2020 because it's very painful to go through it. So we have to have some love and compassion for some of these people who are going through the Epstein files, who are it's very shocking when you first go through it. I don't know. Did you see that video of the man in the Atlanta airport that was screaming at everybody?
He's screaming at everybody,
being like, what are you guys doing? Why? Everyone should be angry. And I was like, that was me in 2020. I had a big meltdown and freak out. But back then, if you spoke out against anything, you were banned. Mm-hmm. You were blocked. Your pages were taken down. So, you know, that was part of why I think, you know, the awakening has happened as slow as it's happened, but at least thank God it's happening now.
Well, I think it's been accelerating from, because, you know, I was in college in the 90s reading books like None Dare Call It Conspiracy and like looking at the global power structure, and just, I knew what we were being told was a lie. I had voted for Bill Clinton in 92, but then I quickly was like, nah, this guy's not the right person. There's something else going on. Somebody else is pulling his strings. And, you know, you look at, you know, oh, it's the Rockefellers. They kind of propped this guy up and put him into office. They kind of picked him. And he might even been related to him through like an illicit affair that happened because Bill Clinton's mom was a prostitute. So you've got all these, you know, this long, slow burn of the awakening happening. And then I think it accelerated during the COVID lockdown
because
people were like, whoa, wait a minute.
I mean, that's exactly what happened to me. And it was, for me, it was 2 weeks to slow the spread.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first 2 weeks, I was all about it. I was like, okay, I'll wear my mask.
Right.
You know, they're saying,
I'll be a good person.
Yes. they're saying that there's this virus going around. You know, we don't have much information. But after about 2 weeks, and it was still continuing to go, that's when I knew. I was like, okay, I don't want to wear this mask. This feels very controlled. And I was in Los Angeles during 2020 with my husband. And, you know, it was a very scary time because if you weren't wearing your mask, people would scream at you.
They would
yell at you. But I remember this a specific moment. I was in Trader Joe's and me and my husband weren't wearing a mask. And this older gentleman came up to us and he goes, we don't have to wear the mask. I'm like, not if you don't want to.
Oh, wow.
And he took off his mask.
He woke up.
And he had tears in his eyes.
Wow.
Like, and I, you know, that moment sticks out for me so much because you have to, when you're brave and you speak out or you do something different, you can encourage other people. So I encourage everybody online now who's just waking up, continue to speak out. And for those people who have been awake, you know, have some compassion for those who are just waking up now. I know it can be irritating to be like, why haven't you woken up sooner? I've been trying to tell you this whole time, but it happens for everybody when it's supposed to happen and when they're ready.
So. That's true. Yeah. Cause not everybody's ready at that time. They could, you know, it could really cross some wires. I was in an HEB and I had my mask off and I'm shopping and everybody had their masks on. And I see this lady down the way. I'm like, oh, she doesn't have her mask on. I get closer. I'm like, oh, I know this person. So that's how, and she was like, yeah, I'm not wearing a mask either. And she was, you know, I didn't know what her politics were or anything, but she was my wife's friend. And I'm like, okay, great. We're having an effect. And, you know, cause she's like, look, the studies are out there. This thing doesn't even stop the disease. It's all bull. And it's just basically trying to create, what it was trying to do was mark people.
Yes.
Because there's people who are with the system and people who are not going to listen and not going to, you know, not go with the New World Order. And that was one way of finding out who was on Team A or Team B, the
Absolutely.
Dimensions. Because we definitely were living in different dimensions, and we still are. I saw this report about Apple News. I don't know where you get your news from, but if you're getting it from Apple News, it's basically all from the left. It's not even balanced in any way whatsoever. And I think that's done on purpose to keep people in a place where, you know, you're wondering why so many people are out in Minnesota protesting ICE. Well, that's why, because they read Apple News and they're like, ICE is bad. ICE is fascist. ICE is this, you know, so they've been trained on how to act.
Absolutely. And that's the thing that's been so difficult is the fact that people were banned in silence. So thank God for this platform of InfoWars. And I'm so grateful for every opportunity I get to be on here because, you know, we're allowed to actually speak and talk without that fear.
We didn't have any pre-interview questions. I actually texted Brianna last night. She said she met up with you last night and said, you know, if you want to have her, I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll have anybody on. I don't mind. I love having time with people talking one-on-one, especially because you really get to the meat of, you know, what's going on in the world. You know, and that's why I like taking calls too, you know, because you really get different perspectives. We had a DOD guy who was a welder, you know, can you imagine you're welding, you know, secret pieces of equipment together. Who knows what it's going to do, you know, making teleportation chambers and whatnot. But, you know, it just goes to this, I think that's where you get the best information out. It's like podcasting, I think, is so popular now because people are hungry for real stuff and they don't mind if it takes an hour to get to the 15-minute point. You know, it's somewhere.
Well, exactly. And the thing is we need to be having conversations, whether you're on the left or the right. It's when you block people from having the conversations and being able to ask the questions, that's when you really have the problems. And so also for me, part of my awakening is when they were forcing everyone to take the COVID vaccine shots. Mm-hmm. That's when I really was like, this is a red flag, okay? Because it's not a one-size-fits-all situation.
Right.
And the fact that it was like, everybody must take it, and you can get a free cheeseburger if you take it, and then, you know, you'll lose your job if you don't take it. And you know what the crazy thing?
Can't go to a concert if you don't take it.
Can't go to a concert, can't go to a restaurant, can't perform at a comedy club.
Right.
Which is exactly what happened to me.
And
that's part of why I ended up moving to the great state of Texas. Because in 2021, this is when they were really implementing the vaccine passports.
Mm-hmm.
I refused to take the COVID vaccine, but I also, because of my medical history, did have medical paperwork that stated that I was recommended by my doctor to not take the shot. And 3 days after I had an amazing show at the Ford Amphitheater performing in front of 800 people, I went to the Comedy Store on Sunset to go into the Comedy Store, and they would not let me in.
Do you have certain papers?
Well, they asked to see my paperwork, and I was like, you know what? Actually, in my bag, I do have my medical record with a doctor's note.
Which you shouldn't have to show anybody.
Exactly.
But,
and I did have a negative COVID test from that week. So they had me standing outside for 30 minutes. And then the manager came up to me and he was like, Lila, we could actually take we'll take these medical papers. We can scan them. We'll put them in our files. And then in 3 days, we'll send you an email and you could come back. And I was like, this is discrimination against
I'm
someone with a disability.
To perform.
And then also think about this. I thought the COVID vaccine was to protect the elderly right. and the people with disabilities or yeah. and so it's like you're supposed
compromised
to be protecting
immune systems,
people anything. Like me yeah. but now I'm not allowed in here
right.
and the part that really pissed me off is as I was leaving the security guard said to me, Lila, you should have just shown us a fake vaccine card
oh, right.
and we would have let you in.
Yeah.
And that's when I knew this entire thing was complete BS because you are knowingly allowing people to have fake vaccine cards. So what does that let you know? That you know that this isn't real,
right.
but the people who are getting the fake vaccine cards, you're promoting this to your fans. You're promoting this to your people. And it's like, if all those people who got fake vaccine cards would have just spoken up and said, hey, I don't believe in this. I don't want to do this. We wouldn't be in the position that we are now. And the funny thing to me now is anybody I've met in 2026, there's nobody that I've met that's like, oh, yeah, I took the COVID vaccine and it was a good idea.
Yeah.
Most people I've met is, I took it. I didn't really want to take it, but I needed to take it for my job, and I deeply regret it.
Now I have health issues. Now I'm always
yes.
sick. Now there's always something that happens. And I got pretty sick from COVID, but when I knew it was fake was, you know, when I was, it was about 5 days in, and I talked to Dr. Bartlett, and he's like, you know, ivermectin, azithromycin, zinc. I think I was taking baby aspirin just to thin the blood a little bit, and there's one more thing. Oh, budesonide, because I had a bad cough, and that's and I had that through a nebulizer. And in 2 days, literally, my symptoms were totally reversed.
Wow!
And I was like bedridden, and then I was like, in 2 days, I was still didn't feel great, but I was able to get up and like pack all my stuff up. I was stuck in Lake Tahoe with one of our security guys. I actually went on a trip with Alex and got sick there, which is also, you know, it's like, you're in a foreign place and you're in California and you're like, oh God, these people are going to like crucify me if they find out I have COVID, you know? So I was stuck in a hotel room. I was getting room service and just, I barely eat soup. I lost 30 pounds.
Oh,
it was crazy. But by just taking a few, two prescribed medicines and then some vitamins, boom, it changed like immediately. And I'm like, this is totally fake. I knew they were lying to us, but until it happens to you physically
yes.
and you feel it, you're like, oh my God, everything's fake. No way am I ever going to take that vaccine. And I told my kids, I said, don't ever take anything from the government, especially if it's free. Because if it's free, there's definitely strings attached, whatever
oh,
it is.
Absolutely. And how crazy is it that the mainstream media did not promote, hey, that there's a way to get better. There's a way to, and wanting
no, they demonize people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And demonize people for going outside,
yeah.
getting fresh air, vitamin D, and it was just absolutely horrible. And I think that we need to not forget what they did.
Right.
You know,
and we need to hold them accountable.
Absolutely.
Definitely need to hold them accountable. In fact, I have, hey guys, let's play clip 16. I don't know if we'll play the whole thing because it's 3 minutes long, but let's go to clip 16. This is Tulsi Gabbard talking about an investigation into Anthony Fauci, which I think is long overdue.
But the thing that we are working with Jay Bhattacharya, the new NIH director on, with, as well as Secretary Kennedy, is looking at the gain of function research that in the case of the Wuhan lab, as well as many others around, many of these other biolabs around the world, was actually U.S. funded and leads to this dangerous kind of research that in many examples has resulted in either a pandemic or some other major health crisis.
Well, let me ask you specifically, because we already know that EcoHealth Alliance was partnering with this Wuhan
That's
lab
right.
to do gain-of-function research.
That's right.
We just have never been able to have somebody say, and it was that exact experiment that led to this COVID bug. But have we gotten there? What's the new thing that you're digging in
on? Yeah, Megan, we can
are,
say that.
We
you
are
can.
Working on that with Jay Bhattacharya and look forward to being able to share that, hopefully very soon.
Okay.
That specific
link.
Correct. Between the gain-of-function research and what we saw with COVID-19.
I mean, that would be extraordinary because just so the audience knows, if that's true, if it was Peter Daszak's research with the Wuhan so-called bat lady that caused this pandemic, then we did fund it. Then Anthony Fauci helped fund the pandemic.
The thing that he denied over and over and over to Senator Rand Paul's questioning.
That's right. Under oath.
Under oath. Exactly. So is it any wonder that he sought a preemptive pardon for anything during a certain period of time by President Biden before he left office?
And then strong-armed and smeared people like Dr. Jay Bhattacharya,
exactly.
anybody who came out and said, I don't know if that's natural. This right. actually smacks of lab.
And the reason why this is so important is not just what happened in the past. It's because this gain-of-function research is happening in biolabs around the world. I got attacked, and I think you saw this. We've probably talked about it on your show before, when I warned against U.S.-funded biolabs in Ukraine when the Russia-Ukraine war kicked off for this very reason. Who knows what kinds of pathogens are in these labs and if released could create another COVID-like pandemic. And for that, I was called a Russian asset. You're, you know, trumpeting Putin's talking points. All of this nonsense simply for speaking the truth and stating facts that, by the way, are still on U.S. Embassy Ukraine's website today about how the U.S. has funded these biolabs in Ukraine. But in order to, my point is, in order to prevent another COVID-like pandemic or another major health incident that could affect us in the world, we have to end this gain-of-function research and provide the evidence that shows exactly why and how it's in our best interest, the American people's best interest, to bring about an end to it.
All right, that was Tulsi Gabbard with Megyn Kelly. And so, you know, Megyn Kelly doesn't know the story about Ralph Baric funding this starting in North Carolina in 2014, doing this under Obama. And actually, Obama had some sense and said, hey, we're not going to do it here in the United States anymore. So they just go, oh, okay, we'll just move it to China. We'll just move it to Ukraine. We'll do whatever we want. And like Baric was working with Xi Jingli, the lady in China at Wuhan who was working with the bad viruses. All right, I can put it together. Because I just read these things and look at old newspaper articles and go, okay, I see what's happening here. That's what they're doing. And so it kind of pisses me off when people like Megyn Kelly are like, we don't know what's going on. And but it's good to see Tulsi Gabbard in there, who is a former Democrat and like switched over and said, you know what? I cannot be with this party. They're lunatics. And that's the problem. They're lunatics. It's run by lunatics.
Absolutely. And again, it's very important for people to speak up. And I think God rewards bravery.
Yep.
And over time, the truth will come out. Again, I'm just so grateful to have woken up when I did. And I just hope that the awakening keeps speeding up, like you said, and it is happening. And, you know, even on TikTok, when I've been on, it's crazy to see that it's now some of these things, especially with the Epstein files, are becoming more mainstream and people are getting angry. More people need to get angry. Yeah. And more people need to not forget what they did to us. We were lied to. We were absolutely lied to. Our voices were silenced and shunned, and we were demonized for speaking the truth. And, you know, if the vaccines were so great, then everybody wouldn't know what the word myocarditis means.
That's true.
And we all know what myocarditis is. It's become
and pericarditis and
turbo cancer.
Embolisms, you know, thrombic embolisms in your lungs. Yeah, it's all these weird medical things that didn't really exist beforehand or were very rare. Now it's like, oh, it's commonplace. Everybody's dying of bowel cancer at this point, or lung cancer, or brain cancer. You know, it's totally ridiculous. And what do you have like your fan base? Is it like half woke, half not? I mean, what do you find when you're out and about, like at a club? Do you get hit some jokes that like hit the wrong way because you got a group of like Karens in the audience or?
I try to perform my comedy to where that anybody in the audience could truly enjoy it. But I think that there is a lot more people who are awake to mm-hmm. things. And I've had a lot of people come up to me that say, I'm a real big fan of your work. Me and my husband made a documentary film called American History of Voter Fraud. Mm. And where we talked about voter fraud, which, you know, now in 2026, a lot of people can agree, even on the left and the right, that there is some fraud at least.
Oh, yeah. Something. I was just showing some videos. I didn't get much into it. But, you know, the ballots that are look exactly the same. The ink, the way the ink moves is exactly the same in two different ballots, supposedly, in two different scan things. We're seeing it up on the screen right now. You can see that little bump off to the bottom left. And look, same one. Oh, and it's from two different batches. There's batch 92 or ballot 92 from batch 235. Oh, and this is also batch 234, ballot 33. Same batch. And what they were doing was they would run the ballots. So they'd have 100 in a stack and they get to like 85 and then an error would happen. And instead of like, oh, let's reset it to zero, they would just run the ballots again. And so it was just double counting ballots and they would do it. I think they were doing this on purpose. I don't think this is neglect. And it's because it's happening in just, you know, five different cities. They're like, oh, it wasn't widespread. Yeah, it didn't need to be widespread. You only needed it in Atlanta, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and where were the other? Detroit, Michigan. You only needed those four places to go for Biden.
And I truly believe that the COVID, that whole debacle was to really push mail-in voting the mail-in ballots. Because when I was living in L.A., I received 9 ballots at my house that I could have easily filled out and sent in.
And now what did you do with those ballots when you got them? Did you shred them or did you turn them back in?
We just kept them, but we didn't do anything with them. But it was, this is again when we were just starting to wake up of like, you know, something's very suspicious
this
is going
right.
on. Yeah, what is happening here? And
it says one person, one vote. Why do I have 9? You know?
Exactly.
That's crazy. So what's going on with you? I saw that you were doing some you're calling them micro wrestlers. You're kind of like the performer, ringleader of this group.
Well, I am currently on tour with a group called the Micro Maidens.
You guys can
check us out at micromaidens.com. We are performing all over the country. And I perform stand-up comedy and host the show. And the rest of the ladies are burlesque dancers. So it's a fun 3-hour show. And if you could believe it or not, I actually am the tallest performer on the show, standing at a towering 4'6" tall.
Wow.
Our smallest performer is actually 2'10" tall.
2'10". That's amazing.
The show is a lot of fun, but I also think in a lot of ways it's inspiring too, because you get to see people of all different sizes and, you know, performing all over the country. I've almost performed in all 50 states. The only one I'm missing is Alaska. So if I could get a comedy show in Alaska, I'll be able to say I've done all 50 states.
All 50 states. That's amazing.
But I meet a lot of really incredible people. And like I said, when I'm out, you know, and I'm meeting people in real life and I'm having these conversations, a lot of people will tell you, yeah, I got the shot. I really regret it though. Mm-hmm. Or got the shot and got diagnosed with something. And there's, for me, traveling around and meeting people, I have not met one person who's like, yeah, I got it. And I'm really proud of my decision. Even the people who were like gung ho about it are like, now here in 2026 with all the information that's come out, and at least thank God now we're able to, you know, speak about it, but
and post about it.
But the thing is too, it's like I am really grateful to be able to do stand up in real life and meet real life people from all over the country, because there's a lot of people on our side who are just afraid to actually speak out online. But if you go out into the world and you meet people and you have these conversations, you'll realize a lot more people are awake.
Right. And that leftist echo chamber is big and it is powerful, but it's not, I think it's in the minority overall. They just have a way to amplify it because most of the media is left. And they're just like, no, this is how everybody thinks. Everybody thinks you should wear a mask. Everybody thinks you should be locked down. Everybody thinks the government's always right and that the election was totally secure. It was the most secure election of all time because the media said it.
How incredible is that they had to say the most secure election of all time? The fact that you even have to make that statement lets us know that there has been ongoing election fraud for many, many years since the beginning. So the fact that you have to make that statement is already very suspicious.
Yep, exactly. So LilaHart.com, LilaHart.com is your website. People can check out all the work she's doing. You can follow her on X at Love Lila Hart, or Love Lil, Love Lila Hart on X. And I follow you. So I love seeing what you're doing out there. So thanks
for
coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We'll be right back. Darren McBreen's going to be in studio if he didn't chicken out.
I have told the folks at Bigley, I said, I want to have the widest selection of combat daggers, trench knives, folding knives, you name it, that are high quality brands that you buy in bulk that are very competitively priced. And then support the broadcast, because I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in. And they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives that I went out and told them what brands I liked, what was going on, and they were able to get it. And so a bunch of the knives that sold out a few months ago, they're back in. And then these bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. This is a great knife. This knife sells in stores for $75 all day long. We're selling it for 40-something and even bigger discounts, up to 50% off right now. Some of these knives are as low as $20 a piece. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. Go there now. We've got also the Murdered Out Black, and I love how it's that Kydex, and it's got that real fine engraving on it, so it gives you that great feeling, that great... Because I got sent hundreds of knives from dozens of companies, and I'm the one that chose all these. And these are from really good companies, really good quality, and it's just a great deal. And so do your knife shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. But let me tell you what's back in stock. We have the new ones, Alex Jones Blackout Folding Knife, 7.65 assisted opening folding knife, 3.5 high carbon Damascus blade, 1095 plus 515 N20. This is all quality. D2 steel, black PVD coating, and stonewash finish, 3.3 millimeter black thickness, black G10 handle for a secure grip, 15.5 millimeter handle thickness for confident hand feel, ball bearing pivot system for smooth deployment. I mean, it's a nice quality knife. All black, blackout finished. I call it Murdered Out. Fast, decisive, assisting, operating, limited production, live before it sells out. And then we've got the same knife, but it's silver blade folding knife. If you like that, it's got a nice little hook on the end so you can tie it to things. The forest green folding knife that is my close second, really a sexy knife. Same as the other one, it's just got that forest green. Call it forest, it's kind of like an in-between forest and olive, but nice. Kind of Border Patrol. I call it Border Patrol Green. Let's change the name Border Patrol Green. That's actually what it is. This bad boy. These all sold out, but they always hold back a few hundred in case orders come in later or whatever. So tip of the spear, Spartan, trench knife with brass knuckles, Murdered Out, and the Skull Crusher. A few hundred of those. They held back a few of these. It had sold out, but there's about 200 left. The Blast Fire with this beauty limited edition. That funds the operation as well. It's a little different. Skull Crusher isn't as big. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. This has been sold out. They only got 500 of these the first run. Sold out in one day. It is back. They got 1,000 of them. And it's just a great knife. Really sleek and really strong. Very well made. You've got it in orange. Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. I like that. Now we've got the Alex Jones Ring Blade. This sold out the quickest last time. That's an amazing product. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue and take advantage of the very best supplements in the world. We'll be right back. Thanks for funding the Second American Revolution worldwide.
Journal with your host, Rob Duke. Watch it live right now at band.video.
The most unassuming man in voiceover, Sean Mitchell, brings me into the final segment of The American Journal. I'm your host, Rob Duke. Thank you for joining me. You can follow me on X at Dews News, D-E-W-S-N-E-W-Z. And over here, my office mate, Darren McBreen.
For what, 16 years?
It's been so long. I think we've been in that office longer than any other. I, you know, where the InfoWars logo is where my desk used to be in the old studio, and that was just nothing but cubicles back in the day, like 2009 and 10.
What a long, strange trip it's been.
It's been long, and we don't know how long we're still going to be here. We're going to be here, you know, at least until March, and we're going to see...
Mike.
We're going to see what happens. And I think we're having an audio issue. But, hey, you know what? I'll put the mic in between us and we can just, we'll get closer if we need to. But I guess Lila blew out the mic. She was in here earlier. Check and see where that goes. See if it's plugged into the bottom. Maybe you you didn't unplug that inadvertently, did you? Yeah. So anyway, you were telling me earlier that you've got a couple videos, one of which is an Eddie Bravo, Joe Rogan video. So maybe we can go to that. Do we have, give me a thumbs up. Do we have audio? Oh, we have, okay, we have audio. Okay, all right, so go ahead.
I want to throw to this before we go to it.
Yeah.
Because I watched this, and it's from a couple of years ago. We don't have audio. Okay.
Okay. Well, we'll play the clip, and we're going to fix this. This is Eddie Bravo and Joe Rogan.
You guys know what Pizzagate is about?
Oh, I'd love to hear it, Eddie.
Are you familiar with it?
Pizzagate?
Yes.
No, it sounds dope.
Yes, okay. I do.
You know, I've never heard of it. Please explain to me.
So, I'm not going
to
explain it. I'm not even going to get to it, but I'm just going to say.
Bullshit, Eddie, before you go into it, it's been debunked. It's the biggest bunch of bullshit. It's fake news. They proved it's fake news.
You're so
and if
on
you
that
believe
side.
That,
you're so
it's
on
ridiculous.
That side.
It's
you're
the big. So the Democratic the power structure in the Democratic Party are pedophiles, and they all communicate with each other with those secret paddles. Is this what we're going to go into?
We're going to pop off like
Eddie,
this.
Eddie,
we're
going to
kick the community off like this.
It was proven to be a horseshit story. If you buy into it, the joke is on you. I'm telling you.
Unbelievable. Did you hear what? That's very unbelievable. It's incredible.
So are you saying what? Are you saying that the power structure are pedophiles?
What? This is what I'm saying.
Come on.
This is ridiculous. What?
But hold on a second.
This is what I'm saying is it's so fucking dark. All the shit Alex Jones has been saying. He's been saying all that Pizzagate shit for 20 years. He's been saying everyone thought he was, you couldn't believe anything he said because of the things he's saying. Now, when you look at Pizzagate, all that shit he was saying that everyone thought he was crazy for, that's real now.
It's a fake news story, Eddie.
Dude,
it's a fake news story. Every credible news organization's editorial
like
board went, it's
CNN?
All
bullshit. CNN?
Like, I don't know.
All right, let's hit pause for a second. Let's hit pause, because I think we got a little bit more to digest with that. But that's interesting, because what Brian Callen, or Callum, I don't know his name, but what he was saying was probably, it was discredited from mainstream media outlets, because all they said was, it's this pizza place over here. Mm-hmm. This is where they're saying everything's happening. And we're going, no, John Podesta emails.
Well, it's a sleight of hand. And basically, I love this clip because it is the stereotypical example of what it was like and still is with us when we argue with a family member over a Thanksgiving dinner table or a friend's family, neighbors, that sort of thing. That's the reaction. And they defend the official narrative passionately. He was pissed, you know. And look, it's been debunked. It's been debunked. And one thing I've learned working here at InfoWars for the past 16 years, we receive the most flack when we're right over the target. And remember what happened when Pizzagate was going on. I mean, late night comedy hosts were making fun of us. The media went absolutely ballistic, which means we were directly over the target.
You know, and they did that with, before that was Jade Helm. Remember Jade Helm?
Absolutely.
They were, it was the army running around, and basically the army was learning how to use kind of and analyze and react to social media in real time, in real time scenarios. Mm-hmm. So they would go into a country and they would have somebody basically looking at social media to know if people were coming to kind of analyze it. Sort of like what you see with the leftists over in Minnesota, how they coordinate. They're coordinate through, you know, chat rooms and signals, and then they have their game plan. We're going to do this. We're going to have cars, you know, parked here. And we call it commuting. We're not going to call it following. We call it commuting now. We're commuting wherever ICE is going. We're commuting with them, and they're doing all this with precision. You could tell it's organized. You could tell it's funded. And so that was the sort of what Jade Helm was the army working on what's being used by the left right now.
And with Jade Helm, it's what they say. They always say what I remember about Jade Helm, which is a huge military exercise back, 2012?
2012, yeah.
And it was a military exercise where they practiced taking away average citizens' guns, and it was a martial law type of exercise. Well, the media ran with it, and they said Alex Jones says that this summer there's going to be martial law,
right.
Which he never said that. He said that it's an exercise.
They're training.
They're training for it, and so they went crazy with that. So, but particularly with the Pizzagate thing, I mean, they went nuts, and you see how it worked on that guy that was on Joe Rogan.
Yeah,
and he's defending it with everything. Now there's another clip in there, and this is hard to watch for me because it just pisses me off. But this is Trump recently saying that he does not like the fact that Bill Clinton and others are being exposed in the Epstein files. Check this out.
No, I don't like the pictures of Bill Clinton being shown. I don't like the pictures of other people being shown. I think it's a terrible thing. But you probably have pictures being exposed of other people that innocently met Jeffrey Epstein years ago, many years ago, and they're, you know, highly respected bankers and lawyers and others, and they'll end up, because of guys like Massey, who's a real lowlife, Massey's a loser.
You've often referred to Bill Clinton, and you talked about his relationship with your father and how it developed, and your mother as well, and he's your brother from another mother. What does that make Hillary Clinton to the Bush family?
My sister-in-law.
Interesting.
He thinks of George a little bit like the father he didn't have, and he's very loving to him, and I really appreciate that. I love Bill Clinton.
May all the Democrats forgive me this close to the election. I love George Bush. I do.
It's a big club. It bothers me that somebody's going after Bill Clinton. See, I like Bill Clinton. I still like Bill Clinton.
What do you like about him?
I liked his behavior toward me.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How do I know how a Darren McBreen video is going to end?
Yeah.
Because I'm usually, I didn't see you make this, but, you know, I just know how a Darren McBreen video is going to end.
And I threw the Bush clips in there talking about Clinton because it is a big club and you ain't in it. Yeah. And during the time, those clips with George Bush talking about how he loved Bill Clinton. Remember, if you listen to Rush Limbaugh or anybody at the time, they were just rival enemies. The Bushes and the Clintons were supposed to hate each other.
Yeah.
And that's how most people really thought what was going on. But no, behind the scenes, they vacationed together, business partners, and like they said, a love for one another.
Well, the real enemy was Ross Perot in that election.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, we're supposed to have two-party system here. We're supposed to have a Bush and a Clinton running against each other. Now we got this third guy. Let's send a hit team over to scare his kids.
Yeah.
You know, I think they went to a wedding or something. There's some incident happened at a wedding. And, you know, and so these guys, either one's going to win. And in 2016, it was supposed to be Bush versus Hillary, Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't happen because Trump came in and screwed up the whole thing.
But now here we have Trump acting just like them. I mean, he's saying the same things, and it's just
And the only reason I could see him doing that, I think he's looking at the office of the presidency, and we're supposed to have, you know, he sees the office of the presidency as a high thing.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of see it as, oh, most of these people are low-life criminals, you know, who get promoted into this position to be controlled. And he looks at it differently. I don't know why he says he's friends with Bill. Maybe he's saying that because when the hammer drops, he's like, well, I said I liked him. I don't want anything to happen to this guy. And I'm so sorry they're frog marching him into, you know, we saw that Prince Andrew got arrested this morning. Did you see that?
I'm glad to see that. Why won't it happen here?
Yeah.
I mean, zero arrest. And it just, and not just the Epstein files, the people in the Epstein files that need to be arrested. What about the Russian collusion hoax? Any arrest? What about the January 6th persecutions and that whole witch hunt and how they set up so many people and sent them to prison? Nobody's been investigated or nobody's going to prison with that. There's nobody being arrested for the 2020 election.
Right.
What's going on in Minnesota with all the money laundering, with the illegals?
Oh, they did get one arrest finally.
Oh,
she was trying to flee the country.
Yeah.
One of the ladies she didn't have a leering center. She had a learning center.
Yeah.
And they arrested her trying to flee to the UK.
Okay, I'm going to put one.
So there's one arrest. You can put one.
Let's do one
low-level arrest
on Minnesota.
Somalian daycares.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about COVID? Fauci in jail?
No, supposedly there's an investigation.
Yeah. It's an ongoing. I can't answer any questions.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing investigation. Nobody arrested in the Doge findings.
No. I mean, it's been light on arrests. But we have seen anytime they try to bring something up, it magically goes to some leftist judge who's like,
that's true, too.
Demtards don't do anything wrong. We have to release these good people.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, it's like, so they're really up against, they have to get rid of the judges. That's what Bukele did. He said he went and impeached the judges that were political hacks that weren't there looking at the law. And this is the problem. You have, so take Alex's bankruptcy. You know, Judge Lopez, he was a fair guy.
This is a good example.
He looked at things and said, all right, I'm going to judge it like this. I'm going to judge it like this. He says he never read anything in the news. He just looked at what was brought to him in this case. He's like, I never read anything in the news. And I was there in one of these hearings. And he seemed to be a stand-up guy. But then you got you know, Judge Gamble here in Texas, and then the other judge up in Judge Laser Eyes up in Connecticut. Yeah. And they're like, oh, no, you want to have discovery? No, we're going to default you. Oh, yeah. No discovery for you. You don't get to ask questions. You have to sit there and take what we say.
Yeah.
So that's what happened to him. So you have to get rid of these activist judges.
Absolutely. Yeah, the system is rigged. Well, that does make a lot of sense, but I still think there would be some arrest. You look at Cash Patel, Dan Bongino, and just the lack of, I mean, they've done nothing but this.
Well, I mean, you know? Cash is traveling around with the international country sensation.
Yeah. So. Oh, he went on the Bongino show, I think, yesterday.
Yeah, I don't think anything.
They didn't even bring up Epstein files.
Right.
It was just so, what a disappointment to see Dan Bongino. Of course, you kind of suspected this would happen from the get-go. I thought he might go in there and get shit done.
That's a guy that's all, you know, he's a Secret Service agent. He's kind of a guy that's been in the system.
Mm-hmm.
You really need somebody who has total disdain for the system. He might talk like he has disdain for the system, but the only reason is because he was a little bit to the right leaning and he was working for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
So, you know, that'll probably make you kind of be pissed off at the system, but not like a visceral hatred for what's going on. He still is probably, I think the system's good. I think we've got to have... You know, I do notice Cash's eyes are getting less cross-eyed. So something's happening. Maybe they're giving him a little bit of that microwave generator, the discombobulator. I don't know, but they're not as cross-eyed as they were before. He's just got one. He's got that left. His left eye is pointing inward just a little bit.
Amazing.
Yeah. Hey, I want to go to this. We got about 11 minutes left. Let's go. This is a report on Sequoia and Dominion voting machines. This stuff has been known forever that these machines can't be trusted.
Forever.
This is clip 13. Dan, let's go to it now, and then we'll come back and discuss it.
Antonio Mujica and his partner Alfredo Anzola received a small business loan from the Venezuelan government only months before the recall election. These corporate registration documents from Venezuela show the Venezuelan government owned 28% of the stock of another company they started, Bizta, which adapted voting software for the Smartmatic machines in the 2004 elections. The same document shows a Chavez government minister, Omar Montillo, was on the board of directors. The Chavez government gave Bizta, Smartmatic, and another company a $91 million contract to run voting machines for the 2004 election. The next year, the owners of Smartmatic, primarily owned by Venezuelan businessmen, bought Sequoia, one of the top electronic voting system companies in the United States, for $16 million. Smartmatic is a labyrinth of international holding companies owned by Venezuelan businessmen. Smartmatic Group NV of Curaçao, Netherlands, Antilles owns Smartmatic International BV of Amsterdam, Netherlands, owns Smartmatic Corporation of Florida, which bought Sequoia Voting Systems of California, USA. When Smartmatic bought the U.S. voting machine companies, the U.S. government did not review the sale. Many experts say those voting machines were manipulated in Venezuela to give President Hugo Chavez a victory. Exit polls done by the U.S. firm Penn, Schoen & Berland had Chavez losing 41% to 59%. But the next day, Chavez declared victory, reversing the score, saying he won 59% of the vote.
Everything was computed in the favor of the government. So the only explanation is that the Smartmatic machines had been programmed in that way.
A Harvard mathematician crunched the numbers on the Venezuelan election.
It had to be the Smartmatic system. All these machines talk to a central computer and report on their results. And in that mechanism, as they communicate with the central machine can report anything.
Smartmatic is technically based in Boca Raton, Florida, but the president of the company, Jack Blaine, testified to the Chicago City Council. Fewer than a dozen Smartmatic employees work in Florida. The majority of the workers are based in Venezuela.
Oh, but there's no Venezuelan connection to the elections. Remember 2020? What are you talking about? And there's CNN reporting on it because CNN thinks you had the memory of a goldfish. And I just love, you know, we had Bev Harris on many years.
I was trying to think of her name.
Yeah, Bev Harris from blackboxvoting.com.
Yep.
And what she talks about with these election voting machines is called fraction magic. There's a little keyword. Fraction magic, go look that up. And basically, they'll take one vote and they'll cut it up into like 10 votes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you have all these subvotes, and then you can just move subvotes around. So you're not moving a vote around, you're moving a subvote underneath
it. That's right.
And then by doing that, you can change it by 3 to 5%, which is really all you need to do to change the outcome of an election, is just change it by 3 to 5%.
And she went and tested these voting machines over and over again in front of people that didn't think it was possible to be hacked, and then showed them how easily they could be hacked and do just what you were saying. Turn one vote, turn it around and make it 10 votes for the other guy.
Right.
And we know this has been happening since Bev Harris, and that was a long time ago, too.
Sure. You look at in the 2000 election, it was Florida that had the hanging chads. Then in 2004, there was problems in Ohio.
Yeah.
So it was like, because they probably only need to steal one state.
That's it.
To get the results they wanted.
Yep.
And then
one
when,
or two.
And then Trump wins, and they're like, I think they didn't think Trump had a chance.
Yep.
He wins in overwhelming fashion.
They rigged that against him in 2016.
Right.
He overwhelmingly won.
Right. So then 2020 comes. They're like, oh, we got to pull out all the stops. He's going to win big. And so they had to go to like five different areas and go in and just manipulate the situation. But they had already built the systems to do that. They already had the voting machines in place.
Yeah.
They already had the scantrons ready to go. They had the ballots that they needed. They're getting printed up in China and being sent here. We had people testify against that. They were shipping votes from New York. They were picking them up in New York, bringing them to Pennsylvania. So you had all these things going on. And there was no, of course, you know, they had their mouthpieces going, no, this is the most secure election ever. Yeah. Nothing happened. So it's kind of amazing that, you know, we're still talking about the 2020 election when we should have had investigations, we should have had accountability, and if we don't get that,
I'm so used to this,
it's going
to
be the same as before.
Yeah, nobody goes to jail. Well, you think it might happen again? I mean, nobody's been held accountable.
No,
maybe they'll just keep doing it.
Exactly. Hey, let's go to clip 10. This is they've been stealing elections for years. Is that the same clip? Okay, that is the same clip. We've shown this, but let's show the ballots, number 11, the ballots being scanned several times. You got to see this one, McBreen.
All right.
See that little bubble right there?
Notice the little bubble on the left-hand side, lower left.
Another image.
Oh, look.
Exactly the same. And the batch number?
Batch number 235, image number 92.
Yeah.
Matches the same scanner, 5162. Batch 234, image 33.
Oh.
So there you have it. Duplicate ballots. The entire batch is scanned several times.
And it's a Democrat winning. Notice it wasn't a Trump voter that was scanned several times. They managed to move those.
But we've seen videos like this again and again, year after year after year. So the proof is out there. Now, what is Trump doing right now? Isn't he doing something to get rid of electronic voting and paper ballots?
No, he's got the Board of Peace. He's worried about world peace. He's worried more about the rest of the world than what's going on in his country, because they haven't done enough. There was a raid in Fulton County, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to see some results from that. I mean, how long does it take? Like I said, like that video we showed you was old. The video on Smartmatic was old.
Yeah.
Here's one from, this is clip 12 during the 2020 election, like almost 100% of the people vote. This gets a little mathy. I may pull out of it earlier than it is, about a minute 31, but let's go to that clip right now.
So this is who's an eligible voter in Pennsylvania District 4, about 550,000 people. Well, here's who's registered to vote in Pennsylvania District 4. And when I showed this to the Board of Elections people and the legislature in Pennsylvania, they all said, what? No, that can't be right. It should only be 60 or 70% of the people registered. Yeah. 98%, nearly everybody's registered, and they didn't even know it. This is who supposedly voted in Pennsylvania District 4. And whenever I show this to people, they say, gee, Dr. Frank, from about 50 years up, those curves look really a lot alike. The red curve just looks a little smaller than the black curve. What's up with that? Yeah, I agree. Something's wrong with that, huh? In fact, if I multiply the black curve by 86%, you notice it superimposes right on the red curve pretty well, huh? It's surprisingly well. So as a scientist, I know something called the correlation coefficient, this R number. If a correlation coefficient is 1, then that means it's a perfect correlation. It means one set of data predicts another set of data perfectly. If the correlation, if it's R is 0, that means it's completely random versus each other. So anytime you have a correlation coefficient near 1, which this is, that's not natural. It's something that's going on that's making the two agree with each other. In medicine, in anything to deal with people, if you get correlation coefficients in 0.7, 0.8 range, you're doing amazingly well. In physics, if you're between 0.8 and 0.9, you're doing amazing. To get 0.99, that ain't natural, buddy.
Yeah, that ain't natural. 0.99. So, well, you know, when he says you get one, you're having, you definitely have manipulation. When it gets zero, it's more random, and they're like 0.99.
Yeah, it's so impossible.
It's the fraud jump.
What's the Stalin quote? He who counts the votes, or it doesn't matter who counts the votes. It
doesn't matter who votes.
It doesn't matter who votes. It matters who counts the votes.
Right.
And that's what we're saying again and again. Let me ask you something. Do you think that, like, with the release of the Epstein files, and then we see videos like this where we absolutely know that the voting system is completely corrupted, and it just gets to the point where people, we won the info war. Okay, I say we won the info war because the information is out there, but nothing's being done about it.
Right. That's to demoralize people.
And I think it is a giant psyop, like a demoralizing type of program where you get all this information released on Epstein. We're being run by satanic baby-eating pedophiles. I mean, it's just, it's crazy, right? Yeah. And then you can't do anything about it. You feel helpless. You feel hopeless. Is that part of the big design?
Well, I don't know what the big design is, but I say we have to just reach the pedo tolerance level of all the normies out there, and eventually we hit it. And when we do hit it, things are going to happen. And what it's not going to be, I don't think law enforcement's going to do anything. It's going to be somebody on the inside that's either going to whistleblow or drop the load, the mother load of documents, sort of like what Seth Rich did. You know, he paid for his life. By, you know, putting out all those Podesta emails.
And there are people that are willing to do that.
And we still don't have clarity
now,
on
when
Seth Rich.
When you see these videos and things, you know, and when you see what's going on, the proof is there. You can't just go home and just let it happen.
Right.
We can't be ruled by these people. It's got to end. It's got to stop.
Yeah, we got another clip. I'm not going to go to it. But, you know, he said there was 229 ballots were from deceased voters. This is in Detroit. And 2,600 ballots had invalid addresses that led to vacant lots and burnout houses.
Yeah.
And we saw that Nick Shirley was going around to places. There's like, hey, there's 100 people living here. Yeah. You know, and there's some guys out in Georgia who are going to an abandoned house. There's 90-something people registered there at this house that has, you know, broken windows, mattresses out front, overgrown with weeds. Nobody's lived in this house for years.
Yeah.
Yet they're saying, oh, no, this is all normal. And so we've broken through with that. There is going to be by them slow walking this stuff and taking a long time, it's going to lead to a demoralizing of people who just want instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Patience, Yoda says. Must have patience. That's what we have to do.
I'm running out of patience.
I know. It's going to happen, though. I think we're going to... Hey, they're going to get it. They're going to get it from the authorities. Our life's going to get them. That's what's going to happen. Life is going to catch up to these people.
Yeah.
So, with that, Alex Jones Show coming up next. Thanks for watching. We'll see you later on The American Journal.
I'm jacked up on the meth lane. Blue is the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it, I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something, what a blessing.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. I feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took
10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at theologyofstore.com.